Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, once again to Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. And this show is heard in over 40 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Belgium, Australia, Panama. So thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight those transformational moments that changed our lives and how we are using these to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us every Wednesday and Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, right on Facebook. On the show, I have impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. And my guest today does just that. If you have any questions for myself or the guests, this is a live show, so you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So please help me welcome to the show, Dawn Gluskin. How are you, Dawn?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Technical difficulties aside, right? Here.
We're going to have a great conversation. But gotta love live radio. And you know what? And we
technology.
Don't give up, and we just keep figuring it out until we make it happen. Right?
That happens. That's life for you, right? You just got to
right?
go with the flow.
Right. So, yeah, I'm super pumped. Yeah. So we met back in San Diego, back in September. You know, at the New Media Summit, and like you crushed it. Like you were just awesome. Like talking to everybody and just controlling the room, and just, I mean, it was like amazing. Like so many people were talking to you, and you had an amazing story. So I can't wait for everyone to dive in to what you're all about.
Oh, thank you. That was such a great event. And I was so inspired by all of you guys on the podcast host that I had to go and create my own show too. I was like, I went in on this. So yeah, it's awesome.
There you go. Awesome. So the title of this show is The Power of Storytelling with Dawn Gluskin. She is a storyteller, a truth digger, a master messenger at Bliss Communications that transformational leaders go to when they're finally ready to share their authentic stories that need to be heard in the world. She is also the host of the upcoming brand new podcast, Bare Naked Radio, where truth and vulnerability are put on the altar and fear and failures are honored as the transformational tools they are meant to be. Launching at the end of this month in February, you can find that show as soon as Dawn releases it. It'll be on iTunes and Stitcher. It'll be all over the place. So stay tuned for this upcoming podcast, Bare Naked Radio, coming at the end of this month. Dawn acts as the truth serum that connects us with who we really are so that we can finally peel off the masks of who we've been pretending to be in the world. She helps us find both the courage and the words needed to be fully expressed. Her mission to disrupt the number one deathbed regret of, quote, I wish I had lived a life true to myself instead of the one others have wished for me. And she does by creating the space for others to show up as they really are here and now. This became her mission after her multi-million dollar electronic company went bankrupt and after seven successful years in business. Broke and even more broken, she came to terms with the truth of, I never wanted to sell electronic components when I grew up anyway. I always knew I'd be a writer, which, I mean, I think we could all equate to that. I mean, we're all like, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, right? Yeah,
right,
definitely.
Yep.
So she put aside her shame and told her failure story publicly. And guess what happened? She was met with an outcry of thank yous, and you inspired me to tell my story too. And all of a sudden, this became her torch to carry, and since then, lives are being transformed with love, courage, acceptance, and full self-expression. You can look her up at www.blissed, B-L-I-S-S-E-D, blissedcommunications.com. She can be found on all kinds of social media links, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They're all there. Go ahead and find her on social media. So I'm like, wow. Like I'm multi-million dollar company bankrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, it was. It was tough at the time. And now it's, and looking back, it's all so perfect and aligned, and I get it and why it happened. And it was actually probably one of the best things to ever happen to me, which sounds crazy, but that's how it goes.
Wow. Insane. So the first question I always ask every guest on the show, and I think your bio kind of talks about it, is why? Like, why do we do what we do, right? I mean, why did this happen? Why did this relationship fail? Why did this business fail? Why did this person stab me in the back, you know? We never ask the questions, like, when I get $1 million, like, if I win the lottery, like, why? Why did I win? No, we're rejoicing. We're happy, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we want to know why everything happens that's bad. So my question to you is, why do you do what you do now?
Yeah. So it's a great question. And I really feel like the wands in Harry Potter, it chose me, like my calling chose me.
Right.
So you touched to it earlier when you said, you know, everyone can kind of relate to that, doing that thing that everyone else wants you to do. So when I talk about the number one deathbed regret, living a life true to myself, that and not the one that others wish for me. That's what hospice workers who talk to the, you know, terminally ill, the very elderly, and, you know, their last days on the planet, and would ask reflective questions like, what would you do differently? Do you have any regrets? And that's the number one thing, is people are like, you know, I wish I just lived the life I wanted. And instead, we're always living by that voice in our head, whether it's society or our parents or family or friends or whoever, that voice is like, no, you can't be a writer, you can't be an artist, you can't leave that relationship, you can't leave that job, whatever it is. And that's the voice that we go by instead of listening to our own true calling. But I feel like I was one of the lucky ones who kind of had the proverbial universal 2x4 to the head that was like, no, this is not the right path for you. We're just going to, you know, pull the rug out from under you so that you can get aligned with what you're really here to do on this planet. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got the memo
right
after my business failed. And the funny thing is, my 5-year-old self always knew I'd be like a writer or doing something creative. And that was just the life path I knew as a little girl. And then those voices get in your head, well, you'll never make any money doing that, you know, the starving artist. And so I ended up going to school for business and did sales and marketing for 20 years and accidentally got into the world of selling electronic components, which is like a super sexy industry, right? happened to be good at it. And I started my own company and we grew really fast. We were at 3 million in like the first 2 years. And it was like, from the outside looking in, it's like, oh, what is it? You're so successful. This is great. I was like in the Wall Street Journal and like all this stuff. But deep inside, I knew this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. So I kept saying, I'm going to do this for another year. I'm going to sell the company and move on. And then like 7 years later, the universe was like, all right, I hear, you know, it's time. It's time to move on. And long story short, the company, we grew really fast. And there were some changes in the industry that caused our sales numbers to go down, but we were in hyper growth mode. So our spend was up, sales were down. I was a good salesperson, optimistic. I said, no worries, we'll just keep selling, you know, we'll get out of this mess, and didn't want to lay off employees. So, you know, long story short, ended up losing a ton of money to the point where I had no other choice but to shut it down and move on. So that was how that happened. Yeah. And
wow,
you know,
that's
now
incredible.
I look at it as, yeah. And I can tell you now, and I can talk about it like, oh, it's like it's what I ate for breakfast. But of course, at the time, it was very painful. It was not easy. And I didn't see it as a gift at the time. It took me many, many, many months to even like consider it to possibly be a gift. But now that was, you know, years in the rear view. And it's like, oh, yeah, I get it now. Now I'm doing what I really love. And I get to work with people and help them, you know, transform their lives. And I get to write and be creative and travel. And, you know, I don't have like 15 employees and all this stress to make payroll. I get to, you know, I have a smaller company and just more freedom. And it's just so much mm-hmm. more aligned. And I'm like, thank you.
Absolutely. So, and I love that you kind of touched on it, but I'm going to ask anyways, who was Dawn a few years back? You know, let's go 5, mm-hmm. 10, 15 years. You know, who were you before you got to this point?
So, yeah, I was somebody who, like I said earlier, from the outside looking in, it was like, you're so successful, quote unquote. And I always use quotes with successful because we all have our own interpretation of that. But they're like, oh, you made it. You know, I was 30 years old. I had gone and started my own company, you know, 2 years later, $3 million in revenue. We had all this publicity. All these people were just like, you know, it was a time when the economy was dipping. We were growing. So it was like a big deal. And my ego, of course, was like, oh, yeah, you know, this is great. But I knew. So I was playing the role, right? I was out there, the CEO, mm-hmm. you know, the big successful company. But really, if I was honest with myself, I don't really care, like, give a shit about this. I mean, I love my work. I love the people that my employees, I love my clients. I loved all that. I mean, I did find a way to love what I did. But deep inside, I knew this is not what I'm on this earth to do. So I was kind of like wearing the mask. Like I talk about what I help people do now is take off the mask. So I totally was doing that. I was living my life with the masks on and mm-hmm. and just kind of being that person that everyone else wanted me to be and not being true to myself.
Wow. So what was that transformational moment that put you on the path to what you're doing now? Was it the massive failure in business? Or was it like the after effects of that? You know, talk about that one transformation moment that was like, okay, this is really bad and I need to make some change.
Yeah, well, it was a series of events. So after my business closed, I had no choice but to go work for my old competitors. So one of my competitors when I was in business, you know, I was like, I know. Talk about a big, like, big old slice of humble
salt
pie. But you know, I was like, look, I have all these clients I've been working with for like, I was in that industry for like 15 years and people that, you know, had really good relationships. And I'm like, look, I have all these clients that still love me, still want to work with me, but I just shut down my business. Can I bring them to you and, you know, work out a deal that way? So I did that and I was grateful for that opportunity. But yeah, it what a kick in the ego. It's like, especially as an entrepreneur, the last thing you ever want to do is go work for somebody again when you get that freedom, like you're calling the shots and I had to do stuff their way.
Right.
So it was very humbling and I was grateful. But at the same time, I was like, I can't keep doing this. I need to do my own thing. And it was like, but I was just too in like the failure. I'm a loser. Like I want to start a new business, but who's going to want to buy for me? I'm the girl that lost the $3 million company. And, you know, I had all these stories and all this shame around it. And, that went on for probably about 6 months. And I'm so grateful. I have people in my life to reflect back to me who I really am. And one friend in particular was like, Dawn, I don't see you as the failure. She's like, I see you as the girl that started a $3 million business in the first place at 30 years old with a 6-month-old baby on your lap and did all this great stuff. She's like, who cares if you quote unquote fail? That's just one little, you know, bump in your road. You're going to do all this great stuff. And like, and really like made me feel like, oh yeah, thank you for reflecting that back to me. And then I got really brave and I decided to tell my story publicly because some people knew what happened. Other people didn't know. Some people thought I sold the company because that's what I talked about wanting to do. So I just came out, so to speak, and I wrote a blog and it was published on the Huffington Post and I called it The Power of Owning Your Story. And the whole premise of that was you can either own your story or it will own you. And if it owns you, that means the shame and all that and you want to hide it and you don't want anyone to know. So I was just kind of like, here I am. This is what happened. Just put it all out there. And I was so nervous. It took me like 2 months to write like a 1,000-word article. It should have took me 2 hours because I was scared of putting myself out there. But once I did, the response I got, you said in the beginning, it was like people were like, thank you, like from all over the world. Like, thank you for sharing that. You inspired me to share my story. Or thank you for being vulnerable. Like vulnerability is something that, we don't see every day. We see like the perfectly curated Instagram feeds and the, you know, the highlights reel of people's lives. Like people don't always talk about the mess. So people were like, oh my God, thank you for sharing that. I feel like a human. I feel like, you know, I'm not the only one suffering out there. And that's when I realized, oh my God, this is a thing. Like people need this. People want this. And in that article, I announced that I want to be a writer. I've always wanted that. I was going to start a new communications company and do writing and storytelling. And people like hired me just from reading that article that never met me before. Oh, wow. They were like, can you like write? It was, so it just took off like that. And it was so aligned and so perfect and everything just lined up. And I was like, okay, this is it. And it's
there
been an amazing couple of years ever since. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I don't know. I mean, gosh. multi-million-dollar company. Like, there's a lot involved in that.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, like the client. But I think what's cool about that is that the client stayed with you.
Yeah.
You know, like you'd been working with these people, but they weren't like, oh my gosh, like she's a crappy business owner. Like I'm so taking my business somewhere else. You know, and then leaves. Right. Which I think some may or may not have done. But I mean, you've got these list of clients. Like, okay, let's reset. Right. And then and then keep going. So.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the thing too. We all assume like people are going to think the worst about us. Like, oh, I can't do business with you anymore. You failed. You made mistakes. You made bad. But no, people like want to rally behind that. They were like, yeah, I'll support you. I got you. Whatever you need. Like, of course. Like, it was just like, that's how people are. You know, when you're open, when you're honest with them and you're vulnerable, like people want to see you succeed. And it's really in our own head that we assume the worst. That they're going to think we're horrible. And it's usually the opposite. So it was a really great learning experience for me as well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So what has been the best part since that transformational moment? What's been the best part about your journey?
I mean, the best part is like, just, I get to do work that I really love. It's not about the money. It's not about the, you know, the magazine articles or what, all that ego stuff. It's like true alignment. Like I said, when I was 5 years old, sitting in like kindergarten and I was writing stories at that young age, could barely hold a pencil. And like, I remember the other kids would be playing and I'd be at my desk writing, and all throughout school, like I had teachers in all grade levels, like, oh, this is your gift. This is what you're going to do. And I knew it. And I was like, and then I changed somewhere, right? You got that voice that in my head, like we all have our own version of that. That was like, no, that's a bad idea. You can't make money doing that. You need to get a real job and all that. So I got to come back to what I always knew, right? As children were more tapped in before all the voices in the world kind of took over. So I got to come full circle back to that, which was a beautiful gift. And then all the people I get to work with. So a lot of my clients have their own version of that thing they never told anyone, or that story, or that failure, or that fear that's been kind of hiding, or their gift that they've been hiding. Like I work with a lot of healers and spiritual people that, you know, people are going to think I'm crazy if I talk about the work I do. And so the work I do is I really get people to embrace who they really are and be honest about who they are and express it to the world. So that is a major gift as well. So yeah, so many gifts came out of that. That's why I can be like, yeah, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. And people are like, what? Are you crazy? I'm like, maybe a little, but it really is.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's perfect. Perfect. Well, with every good thing, there's always something bad, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that it's all sunshine and rainbows, you know. So
definitely
so
not.
So talk about,
yeah.
So what's been one of the worst moments? What's been one of the worst, you know, parts about, you know, that transformational moment?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, there was the financial repercussions of the aftermath. So I had like a pretty big hole. That's why I went back to work for my competitor afterwards, because I didn't just go straight into, okay, let's start a new company, because I had like, you know, business debts and just that, all that to contend with. And then just also my broken spirit, because I felt, like I said, I felt like somehow that defined me, like that company and that success defined me. And that was I made it. Everyone's like, you made it. And I was like, well, I made it. And now I didn't make it. No, I've unmade it. Whatever the opposite of that is. Like that was the end. Like, this is my life. Like I made it. And then I did it in the end. It's like, no. And it was really hard to get past that, because especially as a business owner and entrepreneur, you know, you put so much of your heart and soul into building a company and your blood, sweat and tears. And it really is, you know, it's like having a child almost, like birthing a business and growing it. So losing it, there's like a, you know, it's like some level of mourning or loss, you know. So I had to contend with all of that. And like I said, there was probably about 6 months that were pretty dark and dreary that, you know, I had to pull myself out of. And definitely not all rainbows and sunshine. It's the rear view is beautiful, but in the time and the muck of it, oh, that was a very tough time in my life.
So you know, you turn it around, you go work for the competition for a little bit, kind of eat some of that.
Yeah.
So eat some of the Helmut pie, right?
Right.
Right. So then, then here you are, right? I mean, here you are. You've got an amazing group of supporters with you, and you've got, you know, an amazing network that you've essentially had to rebuild. Who's been your biggest influencers through this whole process?
Oh man, that's a great question. And there's so many people, really. You know, it takes a village to grow a person's business.
Yeah.
It really does. And to me, community is so important, especially as an entrepreneur, to really be with people that get you and understand like that crazy, like we're all kind of crazy. Right. I mean, that's the truth of it. I would definitely give a shout out to my mastermind, my community members, and a group called Red Elephant. Red Elephant. They were based out of New York and they're in Florida now, which is where I am. So I love that they've moved to be closer to me, which is not why they moved, but I can pretend. And when I joined, they had a speaker training program. And as a writer, I recognized as someone that wanted to be a leader and a transformational leader that, yes, I was a good writer, but I wanted to work on my speaking skills. So I ended up joining their mastermind and like fell in love with them. And now I'm in like one of their high level masterminds. And we just spent 4 days together. It was a group of 10 of us. I just got back last night, and just such an amazing group of people. Everyone's up something in the world, very heart-centered, you know, not in business just to make money, which there's nothing wrong with making money in their business, but everyone has a purpose, a greater mission, and just being in that energy for the last 4 days and people that get you and support you is so important. I think everyone needs their version of that in their life because it just helps you up-level and elevate and see your strengths and your weaknesses from a different viewpoint and just really – you know, take it to that next level. So I would definitely give them a shout out.
Got it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask this question, and I kind of already know the answer to it, but I really want to hone in on this. So you had to start over.
Yeah.
I always ask people, what's the first thing you do if you had to start all the way over? You lost your business, you lost your money, like, you know, relationships. I mean, it's just you, like, it's just you, but you have your knowledge, right? It's almost like you've shut everything down. You shut your life down and you moved all across the world. Like, what is the first thing you do? So what was the first thing that you did to start over?
Yeah. I mean, the first, I don't know necessarily the first, but definitely the most important thing was tapping in to myself, tapping into my core, like my inner guru, that the guy, like the real me, you know, behind all the what other people want, and just asking myself, what do I want? Why am I here? Why am I on this planet right now? What am I meant to be doing? What is going to light me up? What is going to help? How can I be of service to the world? And just really going inward and figuring out the answers to those questions. Because to me, if you're going to risk it all and potentially lose it all anyway, you might as well be doing something that you absolutely love. You might as well be doing that thing that you're here on this planet to do. So that was like the most important step, was figuring that part out. So I was like, if I'm put it all on the line again and just put it, you know, risk failing again, quote unquote failing, then it's this time it's going to be doing it what I love. And because there is no failing in that. And I think everyone should do that, no matter where you are in life right now, is really go inward and figure those answers out, because that's what matters the most. Boom.
I like it. Boom.
Yeah. Boom. Totally.
I think it's very important because people are starting from scratch, you know, they're starting over, you know, because I mean, they don't either they failed or, you know, they're like, I want to start a business. You know, how do I do it? So they're Googling and they're, you know, trying to find their way. So
yeah,
I think it's
very important
how to start, right? I mean, we have to start.
Absolutely. And there's no like right or wrong answer. Everyone's going to have to find their own way with it. But I think when you really commit to whatever that next thing is that, you know, and you really, you tell the universe, you tell God, whoever you know, whatever your belief is, I'm ready to go for it. And you put that energy out there, then things just start lining up for you. You know, I think that it just kind of happens naturally. But the most important part is to get clear on who you are while you're here. And then, and you can say, I'm ready for it. And just trust that the right people, the right finances, all that stuff's going to show up. You know, if you just stay tuned in and you keep doing the work every day, show up, do the work, and things will unfold for you. That's been my experience anyway.
Perfect. I love it. I love everything about what just happened.
Yeah.
So tell everybody, because I love storytelling. So tell everybody what you do and what you enjoy most about it.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, so it's interesting. So on the surface level, what I do is entrepreneurs come to me to help them get clear on their message, on their story. And it's because they want to connect with more people. They want, you know, to grow a fan base. They want to grow a community. They want to make more money in their business, all that good stuff, marketing. So that's what I do kind of like on the surface level. But the juicier part of it, the part that I really get excited about is they get to know who they really are and, you know, put it out in the world. So what will happen, and you probably experienced this in some way, is what I see a lot is I'll meet somebody, say, in an event or something, an entrepreneur, and you just start talking to them, and they're so exciting. They have such a great energy, and they're up to, like, these amazing things, talented, all that kind of stuff. And then you go to their website or their social media or something like that, and it's like, who is this person? Is this even the same person? There's like a mismatch because a lot of times people are afraid to really be seen. Like, I mean, they'll put themselves out there, but they're afraid to like show all their quirkiness and their weirdness and talk about their failures and their fear. And they just put this like buttoned up, boring, like version of themselves online, you know? And
right.
So it's really getting, so what the work I do, and I call it, like the naked approach. And that's why my show title is Bare Naked Radio, because it's really like that. It's like the metaphorical getting undressed, like who's underneath all of these layers that with you hiding, like who's that real person in there. So, you know, I help people get naked and just to figure out what's really in there. Who are you?
Metaphorically.
Metaphorically. Yes. And it's so funny because it's not like I sat down with like my people and it was like, oh, how should I brand myself? And it was like, I think I'm going to become the naked person, but it just kind of happened organically. and sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? But but it just makes total sense. And that's how it is for people. And it's like that too, because it's that scary. Like that's like probably one of the biggest fears, like the nightmare where you're on stage and you're naked or whatever. Like we don't want to be seen.
That
we
was...
want to hide. So
yeah.
Right. So it's like that, but so it's not as scary. I make the process so it's not so scary, but in that process, people a lot of times will, you know, I've never told anyone this before. I never shared this publicly before, and they get really brave. And when they do, it's amazing how people can connect with them. When you let people see you and feel you and like the real you, that the level of connection, the level of community you can build, it's just out of this world. It's like next level. And it feels good, too, just to be yourself. And it's like, oh, I don't have to pretend anymore. Just be me and be weird and whatever else, and it's okay. So that's the part of my work that I just absolutely love.
Perfect.
The good stuff.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I love to talk about mastering your message and, like, the power of storytelling. Because as a speaker, I think that it's very important to really cast a message. You know, I've seen some speakers that, you know, they come on stage and they're like, you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do that. And, you know, I've done this and I've done that. And then they leave. But there's no like call to action.
Right.
There's no why should I care about this? There's no story. So how important is it that even if you're not on stage, even if you're working with clients and you're working with, you know, entrepreneurs and they're starting a business, like how important is it to have a story you know, behind what you're doing? Or I guess a better question would be, you know, how important is it for people to know the story or to learn how to tell the story?
Oh, man. And marketing and like getting, building community and getting known and touching people, it's like everything is so important. There's a little one-liner that says data tells and story sells. And that's like the easiest way to put it for people. And there's like, you know, a whole science behind it. We're literally like wired for story from like a neurological perspective. And that goes back to our survival instinct, back to like the caveman days where there was no, obviously, internet, there's no radio, no TV, no newspaper. There's no way of getting the word out except through each other. So literally you relied on your tribe to relate information to you. So your tribe would sit around and tell stories about, okay, the food's over here, or there's danger here, or, you know, Bob just got killed by a saber-toothed tiger or whatever, you know, sitting around right. The fire. And like, so that's like in our DNA, our ancestral DNA, that you need your tribe. We need our stories. And that's how we connect. That's how we survive. That's how we grow and learn. And that's how information is passed on. So there's like a very basic survival instinct through that. And plus we all just know that once you like really get to know someone, when they kind of loosen up a little bit and tell you who they are, not just like, oh, hi, my name is blah, 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 and this is what I do for a living. But no, like give you some background, like talk about the struggle, or, you know, people just feel like they know you. And it's like, oh, like I feel connected to you because you shared that part of you. So like you were saying, when someone comes out on stage and if they're just like data, 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 that's great. It's probably going to go in one ear, out the other. You're going to forget all about who that person was. But versus someone else who comes out and like shows you a little piece of their soul and like, you know, is open and tells you like about their fears and how they failed. And it also gives you good information too, right? So there's a mix of the two. That person you're going to remember. You're going to remember their story. You're going to remember how they made you feel, which is actually a beautiful Maya Angelou quote. People will forget what you said. They'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And stories make us feel because they go to the heart, right? Data goes to the head, which I love my data people. But, yeah, stories are, like, right in the heart, and you can't forget that feeling. You're going to remember it. So I always tell people, you got to share. You got to share who you are. And some people are really comfortable with it. Some people are not. You know, it's just you've got to meet yourself where you are. But I always also say it's not about, like, getting on stage and just airing all your dirty laundry, like you're
right,
a stranger or something.
Too. Right.
It's not that. We're not doing that here either. But you can do it in a way that makes sense for you and your brand that you feel comfortable with. There's ways to work and figure out what your story is, what your signature story is, so that you can be unforgettable and really make a difference in someone's life. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Oh, yeah. I think you kind of nailed it. Like, I'm not just going to tell a bunch of stories and, you know, but like, it's really, I mean, the art of storytelling really is like you said, they hit on the emotional, right? Because people buy based on emotions, you know? At least I know from what I know about research and in my resilience work that women make decisions and they buy on emotion and men buy on or rely on thought. You know, we're more logical, you know, analytic, if you will, you know, and women are more complex and they're more emotional and they, you know, that's just how they are. So I think that if you can tell a story to where it's weaved into your message, because I think that a story only enhances the message because the message is that underlying theme. Right. And then you leave them with a call to action. I think that, you know, because I've heard a bunch of stories, you know, from military veterans. I've heard stories from, you know, a bunch of people at different conferences that I speak at, you know, but the one thing that gets me is when there's an emotional story told, you know, and this is what I went through and this is how I became, because other people are going to resonate with you. You know, I lost the business or I, you know, so you never know what people are battling with and you never know what people are struggling with. And they're going to hear your story and be like, oh my gosh, they overcame that. Maybe I can too.
That's it. We see, even though the details are different, we always see ourselves in other people's stories. Like, you know, maybe the pain was the same or the feeling of not being good enough or whatever. Like we see a glimpse of ourselves and it makes us feel like, oh, I'm not suffering alone. Like you said. Yeah. And I know I saw that you recently did a TED Talk, which congratulations.
I
didn't get to listen to it yet, but I imagine, I'm assuming that you probably had some pretty good storytelling in there, right? Because I know TED is known for the great stories. Yeah, and I'll definitely check it out after the show. But so you know,
I actually messed
up. You know how powerful. Oh, did you?
Yeah, I messed it up. So I'm good about starting off with a bang, you know, whether it be like hot button questions or, you know, a statistic or something that's like, hey, by the way,
right.
You know, like sometimes I'll lead with, you know, thank you for having me. And I want to tell you how I almost took my own life, you know, and everybody's like, whoa. And it just wasn't they expecting. Right. So anyway, I started going into the story and then you start weaving a message, you start telling people things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to the story, and then you start weaving in a little bit more of your message. You know what I mean? You know, giving them data, giving them, you know, hey, this is how you overcome. This is how you. And for me, boom, back to the story. And then you end it, usually, and I always leave a call to action anyways. I never forget that. But what I forgot was to go back to the story and finish the story.
Oh, no. You left them hanging.
I left them hanging.
Well, that could be,
so many people.
That could be a good
like,
strategy. There you go.
Yeah, right? So many people came up to me. And they're like, so what happened? Like, I mean, we got
what
like,
happened?
3/4 of the way to the story. And then that was it. It was like, there's no ending. Like, they're like, so what happened? I'm like, I became a drill instructor. I did this. But that was the crucial point, though. Like, this was what I needed to deliver. You know what I mean? And I failed at that. But the TED Talk has over 8,200 views in about 9 days.
Nice.
Got about 8,200 views. Super pumped for that. But, oh, God, it was a fail.
So this will be one of your transformation stories. That time I forgot to end my story on the TED stage and what I learned from it.
I literally did not end the story. It was a cliffhanger.
Oh,
and people, like, I got messages like, so, I mean, they're obviously here, so what happened?
Well, maybe it can be a good strategy. Like, people are going to come find you now to hear the rest. Like, that's, you know, like a lot of storytellers do that. You think about all, like, the Harry Potter series or, like, whatever, and they leave you hanging. Like, all the good Netflix series. It's like, that's why you binge watch, because you're like, I got to find out what happened.
Like, oh, you know, that's what, like,
watch, like, all 12 episodes. Like,
yeah, I would say that's what they do.
Yeah.
Trilogies do that, or sequels, like, do that. Like, you know, like, if you ever... You don't know it at the time, you know, until you get to the ending and you're like, no, there's another one. Everybody's favorite. There's another one.
Right.
There's another one going to be made. That's it. This isn't the only movie.
You just tell everyone. I meant to do that.
And then like two years later, here comes.
They make them wait.
Yeah. Right. 2 years later, here comes
that's funny.
The next movie. Right. Or the next book or the next.
Yeah.
Like, oh, everybody says that like, oh my God, there's another one. They're going to make another one. They are. They can't leave it like that. They're going to make another one. So you
need to have Ted bring you back. You can finish up your story, and I will be well in the world.
You
there you go.
Bring me back for part two. Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Well, I love how you just own it. You're just like, yeah, it happened.
Yeah. Well, I'm always one to celebrate failure. I really am. Like,
yeah,
you know,
me too.
My speaker coach, John Vroman's always like, you need to celebrate failure, you know, because people learn from failure. And if you fail, at least fail forward. And not fall in your own place, fall down in your own failure, you know. You're going to stumble.
That's so good,
At least fail forward. I'm like, oh, you make so much sense.
So
but
good.
I pay
you. And it makes and it's like it's so refreshing too, and it's a way to stand out because most people are going to like hide it and be like, oh, shit, I hope they don't find out about me and all that. But if you just put it out there, it's like, oh, it's a relief too. It's like, oh, I just put it out there, so – they can have their judgments. It doesn't matter. And people are like, oh, that's so refreshing how you talk about that.
Yep.
And it really is.
Oh,
Absolutely.
So let's talk about some of the resources that you've used along the way. You know, obviously you had resources because you wouldn't have built a multi-million-dollar business. But from that, right, what were some of the resources that you've used during your journey?
Yeah, so I've always been big on working with coaches and consultants and, you know, just kind of like aligning with people who kind of have like the same, you know, viewpoint on life, the same mission, the same goals. and maybe are a few steps ahead of me, right? So I can like tap into their wisdom. I think, you know, it's don't even try to do it alone. Like this whole entrepreneur journey right. is crazy.
Oh,
so you're crazy to do it alone. So, you know, I get out there and I love to go to different events. Like we met at the New Media Summit and that's how I learned about podcasting and met so many great people. And like, you know, I work in different, I've been in many different masterminds and coaching groups. And it's just nice to have that brain power of like the other people in the group and what they're going through. And we all learn from each other and bounce ideas off each other and just have that kind of circle, that boardroom, so to speak, of other peers. And then the leaders who bring their knowledge. And yeah, I just believe in always like, you never kind of reach that point. And it's not about not being complacent, because you can be happy in the moment and still want to grow and learn and become a better version of yourself. And I think I'll always want that no matter what level of success, quote unquote, I get to. And I think that the most quote unquote successful people are like that. We're just hungry for what's next, with how do I up level from here, and who can I learn from? And I just kind of always stay in that space of being hungry for that and just being a better version of myself so I can serve the world better and just be a better version of me. So,
boom.
Good stuff.
I love it.
Boom.
Yeah. So talk about where you're headed now. What kind of new adventures are you going to have? Some businesses, family, like what's all new in Dawn's world?
Yeah. So, well, I'm really excited about the podcast. Like I mentioned, the Bare Naked Radio, and it's really like that. I'm having people come on the show and get metaphorically naked, and we're talking about fears and failures and all that stuff we want to hide, and we're just bringing it right out to the forefront and celebrating it. Kind of, you know, we have a lot of alignment because of what you're doing with your show. Similar kind of like mission is like celebrate the failure, celebrate the misstep. So let's talk about what you're afraid of. Let's, you know, let's be human. Let's like, you know, let's help so the listeners can know they're not alone. Someone else is going through it. We're all going through the same thing. So super, super excited about that. And then also I'm launching some more like group programs and experiences. I'm doing something called the Writing from Your Soul Retreat. Mm. So I'm going to teach people how to connect with their higher self and tap into their innate wisdom so they, you know, can tap into that knowledge and their own messages and their own stories in a really powerful way. And then some other like location retreats coming up that are still being planned out, but I want to travel and just take, you know, take people on experiences. Like I'll still do the writing and the copywriting because that's like my bread and butter. That's what I do. I love it, the storytelling, but I'm also expanding my business to also do what I love, which is travel and just be in community with people and help them grow and learn. So that's what's next for me. All exciting stuff. Just really
awesome.
Grateful and blessed. Yeah.
Who's, what platform is hosting your podcast?
Well, so by platform, do you mean Libsyn? Is that, you mean like
Libsyn? Yeah, podcast host.
Yes.
Yeah. Libsyn's pretty good about sending the podcast to, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Player FM. There's a lot of different ones.
That's
pretty good.
So Libsyn will be the host. And then it's just going to go out everywhere, like pretty much everywhere. That's what I'm
and
told.
Then, of course, you get in.
And the techie part is not my forefront. Yeah.
Right.
I have people handling that, but supposedly it'll be everywhere.
Yeah.
So
then you got
to
build the email list, get the listeners on the email list so they can kind of stay in touch. And yeah, it's a whole process.
All that good stuff. Yeah. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what I love. And I'm a pretty serious dude, you know, being in the military. Like, I'm a pretty serious dude. You know what I mean? But I like to.
Yeah.
My wife's all like, yeah. So, but I like to. But I find humor in things that people don't maybe find necessarily funny, but I just do. Like, I love the fact that you said, you know, so we're going to come on the radio and get metaphorically naked. Like, can you imagine if you didn't say metaphorically? Like, because your radio show is called Bare Naked Radio, right? Bare Naked Radio Podcast.
Yeah, yep.
And you're basically, the whole theme behind it is you get bare naked truth. Like, you're stripping away all the crap. Let's get to the truth. Like, get it. Got it. Done.
Yeah.
I love the fact that if you don't say it, like, just come on the radio, you know, get naked on the radio. And they're like, what? That's what I think
is funny. I do too. And I will fully own that. I'm like, there's something just really inappropriate about that.
I am like,
you get naked with me on my podcast? Okay. I call it delightfully inappropriate.
That, listen, like,
I own it. That's fine.
You're good at marketing. right? I mean, you literally have the greatest marketing line. You know what I mean? Like, come get naked with me on my podcast. You're like, whoa, what?
Yes.
Like, it's an attention grabber. You know what I mean? I just
it
think
really
it's
is. It is.
Great.
Thank you. I do too. We have the same weird sense of humor, apparently. And I'm gonna have a couple of people. Most people have that reaction. They're like, oh, that's so good. But then I have a couple of people. Of course, they're like from the older generation. They're like, do you really want to be the naked girl? And I'm like, well, I mean, not really, but it is what it is, and I'm embracing it. So, you know, I think it's cool. Because that's what it is. I mean, honestly, that's how it feels. Like, I'm a metaphor person. I love metaphors. I think in metaphors.
I love metaphors.
I don't think it gets any more perfect than this. Like, right, it is getting naked, and it feels like it. It's like, it's controversial like that. It's scary like that. So, couldn't be any more perfect. So, if I have to
metaphors
be the naked girl to get the message out there. Yeah, they really are.
So really I'm a metaphor junkie and an acronym junkie. I love acronyms.
Well, acronyms,
maybe because I'm in the
military
and everything is acronym. Everything's acronym. Yeah, I love like metaphors and stuff, you know, because what they're designed to do is take us from the known to the unknown, right? So you're going to get naked on the show, but really metaphorically, it's about stripping away, but you're putting it into a context that's easily digestible.
Yeah, and it creates that nice visual. And I don't mean like being naked. Like when I say visual, I don't mean that. But I mean it's the visual of like stripping it down, and people get it. Like the way our mind works, that's how metaphors just bring it to life. It's like painting the picture for you in your mind. So yeah.
Oh yeah. So this is the moment of the show before we close, where you do a shameless plug. You can plug a friend, quote, websites, Facebook, a favorite movie, whatever. Give a shout out, whatever you want to do. This is your moment to shine. Shameless plug. Go.
Okay. Well, since I get to do a shameless plug, I will say come connect with me on social media. I love meeting new people. I'm always bearing my soul and getting naked on my social media feed, metaphorically naked. So if you're into that, come connect with me. I love meeting new people. It's just Dawn Gluskin on Facebook, Instagram. That's usually where I'm hanging out. I'm the only Dawn Gluskin in existence that I'm aware of anyway, so I'm really easy to find. So let's connect.
Awesome. Love it.
Yeah.
So as you wrap up, deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my best knowledge is you are the guru. Everything you need to know, all the answers are all inside of you. So just learn to tap into that inner wisdom. And then just take one step at a time, and the world, everything is yours. Everything you ever wanted is available to you.
Boom. Mic drop.
Boom. Thank you.
Love it. Mic drop.
This was so fun. Thank you.
So here's our call to action. We always end the show. I always end all my speeches, everything. I always give them a call to action. So what should someone do today? Should they buy a certain book or set a goal, or really, like, what is your ultimate message? What is it that you want them to do today?
Ooh, let's see. I'm going to challenge you to get a little naked with someone to be true to what we talked about today. let me put a little metaphorically. You know, maybe
don't leave it like
tell,
that.
Tell, or otherwise, whatever. It's up to you.
Yeah, right?
But tell somebody something that either that no one knows about you, or you've been meaning to say something to someone and you didn't quite have the courage. I encourage you to find that courage and just give it a try and see how it feels. So that's my challenge to you today. And then let us know about it. Where does your community hang out? They should come tell us about getting naked. I'd love to hear about it. No nudies.
Metaphorically, of
course.
Put that
out.
You want to hear the metaphor.
Of course.
Yeah. Right?
See how much fun this is.
Right?
But it feels good. And once you do it once, I know. Once you do it once, it gets so much easier. And then you're just like, this is me. So it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Try it.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, Dawn, thank you so much. I'm so happy that we got to do this, and I am honored to have you on my show. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you. It was my honor. It was so much fun, and keep doing what you're doing. I love what you're up to. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. And and you know what? We got through the complications at first, a little wobbly at first. I don't know what the system was doing, but
But
it was great.
But we made it. That's life. You got to roll with it and just, you know.
Yeah. You got to be flexible.
Ride the wave.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So, thank you so much. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. This has been great. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing episode with incredible guests doing amazing things. Please connect with Dawn. Go to blisscommunications.com. Look her up on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Like, she's all there. You got to connect with her. She is completely, completely amazing. So as we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out those values that you have deep in your heart. And I call that living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.